This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
PTBWN, the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Welcome back to your home for everything modern day wrestling, as fucking awful as it is, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your tri-host, Scott Criscolo, episode 152. As we are officially into the second half of the year 2020, which we wish was the end, in many ways. 52. Yankee fans know 52. He is, of course, former starter CC Sabathia. Giants linebacker Pepper Johnson was 52. Why am I blanking? There's got to be others. This guy I definitely know has some on his mind. He is the co-purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon, who's very busy, like they always are. That is the godfather, Nate Milton, who's hiding 52s. Like 52 pickup, brother. What's going on?
Hey, you want to play blackjack? You got 21? Well, I got 22, Scotty. Oh, yes. It's good to be back with you brothers this week. I know that a lot's going on in the world, and maybe people are feeling low. And I will say, you know, hopefully with episode 152 here, we can keep people's spirits from Desanya Diop-ing.
Oh, God.
maybe if we have a really good show, we can Buck Williams the trend that's been going on in this nation.
Buck Williams. Yes, Buck Williams. Oh, yes.
Yes. Former Nets. And of course, the greatest 52 of all time, Scotty. The man that not only has two Super Bowl championships, but maybe the greatest SNL Robert Smigel cartoon done about him is Ray Lewis.
That's right, Ray Lewis. Yes.
Just though when Bambi got shot, oh dip, I didn't see nothing. Like people forget, Ray Lewis was an accessory to murder, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. And he wasn't even in the game. thank you, Brother Nate. I know a guy who probably has some 52s in his city, in his sports teams. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, which we could all use right now, Mr. Steve Willie. Wasn't there a 52 on the Bears?
Just had to. I'm sure there probably was. No one very famous. The Hall of Famer Mike Webster, Pittsburgh Steeler center. Oh, yeah, Jerome, I stumped you guys on that one, huh?
I'm Steve Willie. How dare you, Steve Willie?
Yeah.
Disrespect maybe the greatest defensive player in the game today for your Chicago Bears.
Oh, Khalil Mack.
Yes, Return of the Mack.
Ah, yes, yes.
I always go and look for, like, these classic, like, just,
And I'm already calling it, Scotty, unless we come up with a better song this week, Return of the Mack's got to be the outro.
All right, we will outro with Return of the Khalil Mack. Yes, we'll do that.
Yes, see, Steve, you were so busy looking in the past that you forgot about what was right in front of you.
Yes. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, brothers, we have a pretty good show for you this evening. After after the break, but in the B block, after our reads and bill paying, it is time
for a break already. We just started.
I know. Yeah. After the break, we will have our next. I know. Let's just jump right into that it is, of course, this week is our newest installment of the TNA Classic Pay Per View Recap. Woo! And we go back to the beginning of 2003 for the first weekly pay per view of 2003. So we'll have that in the B block. But right now, guys, I want to just open the table up. I don't, because this has been nagging me for the last couple of episodes. and we've been talking, and every week, I feel like every episode when we're talking about modern wrestling, whether it's WWE or AEW or whoever, NWA, Ring of Honor, I feel like there's always something wrong. Now, in past years, forget what's going on in the country and what's going on in the world. That's a different podcast for another day. We'll keep it to the ring because some of it affects what's going on in wrestling. Some of it doesn't. But we've had years where the in-ring product has been garbage. 1995 was not a great year in-ring. WWE, well, ECW wasn't bad, but I mean, WWF and WCW were pretty shitty in 95. Jennifer Smith may disagree, but most people don't. 2003 might not have been that great. Although we're going to do a show tonight from there, but
I mean, to be fair to Jenny, she is looking at the world through rose-colored glasses.
That is true. Rose.
That's a good one.
She probably admits it too.
Episode right there too. I mean, we pretty much got everything done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the question that needs to be asked, as we are at the halfway, and it's actually fitting that I bring this topic up tonight because we are officially at the halfway point of the calendar year. July 1st was yesterday as we're recording. Today as we're recording. So today is the first day of the second half of 2020, the first 6 months. The first month and a half wasn't too bad, but pretty much everything since the beginning of March has just been a slide of disgust and despair on many levels. But specifically, is this the worst year in professional wrestling history? And I'm not, and in-ring isn't even the problem, although we have watched some pretty god-awful in-ring work this year. From illnesses to bad behavior of many levels to empty arenas to irresponsible business practices to just mismanagement of businesses, just everything in 2020 has just been bad. There has not been, we've had a couple of glimmers of hope, a couple of moments where things have not looked bad. I have to say, I think WWE rebounded halfway decent with WrestleMania under the circumstances. Then, of course, they take a concept everybody likes and beat it into the ground to where then it's not fun anymore. Typical WWE. We had a new going into last year. We had this brand new fresh federation promotion that sadly you can't like if you like anything else. Thanks to that irrational fan base of misfits. That's where my rant comes in later. NWA had been going well. COVID really whacked them because you know they work in a small stage, and then this whole thing. The other issue, bad behavior, alleged bad behavior by some, by all, by many, has caused many issues, whether it be WWE, Ring of Honor, NWA pretty much had to shut down for the moment because one of their higher-ups with alleged bad behavior resigned. So it has been a big year for history and all of us here at the Place to Be Wrestling Network, the Pop feed, the Kings of Sport, other feeds, the North-South Connection podcast feed. We've all been diving into history because history makes us happy, talking about great matches, great feuds, great shows of the past. Because right now, watching anything from the present is like having your gums scraped. Nate Milton, when we look back, when we get to 2021 or 2022 and things, or we'll say 2021, when this year ends, and who knows what the next 6 months will bring, when we look into 2021, will this go down as the worst year in the professional wrestling business?
I mean, it's certainly in the conversation, Scotty. I think there's one year that I'll bring up here in a second that to me is far and away the clear-cut winner. But I would say 2020 is probably either going to end up second or third for me personally. You know, to me, the only other years that came to mind when we were kind of kicking this around this week was when WCW got bought out. And then the bigger one, the one that actually, you know, because all of this stuff, whether you're talking about business mistakes or, you know, the recent spate of allegations that have been brought up and just complete lack of regard for performers in this industry, all of that never got me to stop watching. But the 1 year where I actually stopped and didn't watch for a good 9 months, maybe a little bit longer, was the year of the Benoit tragedy. Like, that to me was the year where I think a lot of people dipped out of the sport and never came back, just because it was like, it didn't, like, because now you can, like, there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but you can still watch wrestling. Even if you're not enjoying it, you can still watch it. Whereas with Benoit, I couldn't even turn on the TV and watch wrestling anymore.
2007 was rough. 2005, just because everybody just seemed so, I mean, they were drinking steroids in 2005. I mean, everybody was just stretched out of their skin. You know, match quality, particularly on SmackDown, wasn't great. And then, of course, with Eddie Guerrero's death, everything just kind of, a pall was cast at the end of the year. But you're right about Benoit. Because now there seems to be, although I mean, I think it's clearly faded. I mean, it's been 13 years. But it does seem like you feel guilty when a Benoit match comes on, because you're like, well, I like watching his matches. He was a terrible human being, but, you know, can you designate one to the other without being made to feel guilty? You know, some people, like, for instance, some people had him in their GWWE top 100. Others didn't. Matches are different because you shouldn't punish the match, nor should you punish the other people in it. But again, that's neither here nor there. But I mean, this year we've had COVID, we've had sexual assault allegations, we've had just bad wrestling, bad business practices. Ring of Honor, poor Steve Willey, speaking of, he needs a conscience for himself. Ring of Honor has just managed themselves into the ground. And they were one of, I mean, literally, they were the AEW of the last 10 years. Now they're just, they're like the, I don't know, the fucking 2000 WCW of the 2020. I mean, I don't know. It's amazing. Just bad management, bad business practices, bad wrestling, bad behavior. I mean, Steve Willey, sure, things are being dredged up from the past, but still, just, is anybody doing anything right in this business right now?
I think Nate Milton is doing a heck of a job.
Nate Milton's great every day of his life. That's why I do this show with him. Because if I can, as Keith Lee would say, if I can bask in his glory, I almost said light, same thing. If I can bask in Nate Milton's glory, that's why I do this show. But because I need smiles once in a while myself. But yes, that is true. But continue.
I was going to say that 1931 was a pretty lousy year in wrestling.
New Rocky died in 1931, yeah, I think. Or he died in 1930.
Forfeited the belt. I was held up. They couldn't do any wrestling in Illinois until there was a champion determined. These are all facts. I'm a historian. No, I would never call myself a historian. I don't understand. I'm a doctor. Initially I was thinking, when you had brought this up, Scott, about 2020 being the worst year. Sorry. I was like, nah, I'm gonna prove Scott wrong. It's not that bad. And then I kind of looked back, and besides the Benoit year was tough. The after Eddie died, that was really tough. And I know I stopped watching, but at least Ring of Honor was really good then. So like, that was when I started picking that up a little bit more. I still watch wrestling. I watch wrestling probably every day, in some format. Not much, like a couple matches, or I'll watch TNA, or, you know, for what we did today, what we're doing in the second half. But, you know, even as we talked about last time, like the New Japan Cup, I was watching that. I was really excited for it to come back, and it's just not the same. All the rosters are depleted. No one's using a full roster at all. You know, Ring of Honor is shut down completely. NWA is shut down completely. I did make a list of some positives that we can talk about later. I have hope for maybe the end of the year. Like, Japan is going to start having fans again in a couple weeks, limited fans, because, you know, they decided to fight COVID and not just quit. So that, I have a little bit of hope there that at least we'll have one group putting on shows with people in the stands that are not jobbers or Billy Gunn. So, yeah, I hear you, Scott. I really do. Then you like the business practices. I can't forget about XFL going under, because I do. They can say whatever they want about XFL and WWE not affecting one another, but it's the same. It's the same dude.
Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same money, you know, coming from the same, you know, bank accounts and such. So, you know, I think that is playing a role. You can't just lose, you know. You can't just focus on starting a football league, then having a football league die and having to go through bankruptcy and run a whole nother company through, you know, the worst pandemic of any of our lifetimes, you know, and not have it affect you. I think in terms of all around, this is probably the worst year. If you throw in, like, you know, one giant event like the death of Benoit, closing down WCW and ECW at least had some potential. It was maybe the next year for me that it really started to die out. Once you realize they had all this stuff that they could do and they failed miserably. Besides that, I can't think of any in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, We of course, I call it the six pack of promotions. I know I never mean to disrespect, you know, CRZ or PWG or any of those other. It's not CRZ.
I don't want to disrespect CRZ too.
Combat Rock Zone? No, CZW. That's what I was thinking of. CZW, not CRZ.
Like CRZ, that doesn't even come out until next month. It's a new model.
New model, yeah. CZW is what I meant. Comment. Or PWG or Chikara. Yeah. I mean, they're closing. I mean, yeah. that's
PWG, yep. I don't think it's run a show all year. They might have done one in January.
But we talk about the big six for us, which is WWE, AEW, NWA, Ring of Honor, Impact, and New Japan. And taking away the pandemic aspect of it, because the COVID thing ruined it for the world, much less, I mean, wrestling is just a very small part of it. I mean, it ruined sports, it ruined, you know, everyday life,
the economy,
education, it ruined a ton of shit, you know. But the problem we've had is different. The issue here with the promotions is some of them have done it right and some of them have done it wrong. What's sad is the biggest one that should have been the example has done it the worst. And I've said this all along, and I think this is a common thinking when it comes to World Wrestling Entertainment and the McMahon family. And this goes before Triple H. I'm just talking about Vince, probably Vince in general. Vince has always lived in his own little world. I know we always make fun of it and that kind of thing, but Vince lives in Vince's world.
Vince has been social distancing since 1988.
Pretty much. He's been social distancing since he was born. He lives in his own world. He realizes that he's got to keep the WWE train moving, and real life just gets in the way. That's what it feels like. Real life gets in the way of me putting on this promotion. And we've forgiven him for some nonsensical things, because he has done good things. You know, all those years he went and visited the troops. And, they've done, you know, he's had a lot of respect for history. We know that he's a big fan of Martin Luther King, always honors him every week, that Monday on Raw, always honors Dr. King at the beginning of every show. So we know that Vince does have some good qualities overall. But sometimes at the expense of life, the show must go on. And The way they have handled this pandemic is deplorable. And this is me saying this. Everybody calls a fucking homer. Deplorable. Deplorable. Mostly Dr. G calls me a homer. You guys don't. But deplorable. Doesn't mean the AEW fan base is going to be off the hook later, but they're going to get their own reaming. But how do you not handle this better? Why did it take so fucking long to cancel WrestleMania? Just because you want your insurance money back from the city of Tampa? I mean, that's nonsense. Yeah. Billion-dollar company. I think you can eat a couple million. I think you could have sat down with the city of Tampa. Look, I don't think we're going to have anything in California for quite a while. Why don't you just give Why don't you just push everything back a year and give next year's WrestleMania back to Tampa and wait a year for LA? I don't even think the fucking Rams or Chargers building is going to be done by September. Be honest with you, because California's been having issues, so they may not even have a Mania there. So just work something out. Vince just is not good at thinking outside the box. And yes, I'm going to preface this by saying, and you guys can comment on this too. We're not heads of a multi-billion-dollar company. We sit here in our I don't want to be one of those troglodytes that's guzzling grape soda, thinks that they know everything and know nothing. I get it that you just can't snap your fingers and do things. But clearly, there's business options when it came to a lot of these things. And obviously, you treated your employees and your talent like just cattle. And now you're testing, and there's positive COVIDs up the fucking wazoo. Mm-hmm. Probably legal, clerical, the copier, the toilet. Everybody's got it. It's a mess, Nate Milton. Why, for the love of God, could you be so dense about this? Yeah.
And obviously, like you said, Scotty, you know, we're not in Vince's shoes. He's probably got some nice Bruno Maglis on.
Yes.
But, you know, we're not business tycoons, but we understand how the world works. And given Vince's connections, he could have eaten a profit loss on the front end and gotten a kickback on the other side. You know, there's ways to protect your money in this situation, but what he didn't protect was his employees. And honestly, like you and I have talked this week, Scott, and I think, and I've said from the jump, like nobody should be wrestling right now. But if you're going to do it, like AEW has done it the smarter way, in my opinion, where everybody's getting tested. And, you know, we're in an arena that is more open air, where it's less likely and things of that nature. But like WrestleMania is where I'll give Vince the benefit of the doubt because, okay, I get it. You know, if you want to have WrestleMania in your performance center, cool. But after that, I would have shut it down. Like there's no reason for it. You know, and I'm not going to put words in Steve Willie's mouth, but Steve, like the wrestling that has been on, not just WWE, but I'm even throwing AEW into this mix, and Impact, as much as I've liked those shows, it just isn't the same right now. And you, like you mentioned about New Japan. So what's the harm in pushing the pause button? I think you touched on something. Like maybe it's not specifically a Vince thing, even though I do think there's some McMahon stubbornness baked into this. Maybe it's an American thing where we don't like being told what to do. It's our greatest strength and our biggest weakness, because that's why I think we're in for a bigger mess with this whole COVID deal, because people had to go party on Memorial Day.
Party every day at this point.
Because you had to go to Applebee's and eat good in the neighborhood. Now nobody can go anywhere in the neighborhood.
There were people in Texas today going to see Governor Abbott because he closed down the bars. So they were all gathered up together. No tear gas was used in the protest of these white people demanding that they go to bars.
I just read on Twitter before we started tonight, guys. Vanilla Ice has sold out a concert in Texas for 4th of July weekend.
Oh, God.
You telling me you're going to risk your health and your family's health to go see Robert Van Winkle? You deserve to catch Corona if that's what you're about right now.
Wow. Yeah. Scott, I like what you said about thinking outside the box. Vince McMahon reminds me of like a 22-year-old. that just like that he's never grown up, that he just does, like, thinks that he's indestructible and that everyone else should be indestructible, even though he's like, as it's been said, doesn't want germs around him. Vince probably found out that Costco has those giant hand sanitizer gallons now, and he hasn't bought himself a pump and put it right in his office.
That's a good point, though, Steve, real quick, because you like, I think I forget who I was listening to, but it was a really fascinating interview. And the performer was like, one of the things about wrestling is there's almost this state of arrested development built into it. So whatever age you are when you enter the business, you get locked in that mentality. So if you came in early, you're a damn teenager or a 20-something. If you came in a little bit later, like a DDP, then you're a grown-ass man. But whenever you get in the business, that's the same mentality you'll have when you get out.
That's interesting. Because there are, like, examples of I don't know if you guys saw Kevin Owens' video that he made this week about why he left when someone posted positive because he lost I think it was his father-in-law, passed away because of COVID, and seeing what his wife went through. And it was like a very earnest video, like, you know, I can't do this for my family. I saw what she went through. And, you know, that seems like a grown adult response. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the choices I make. And there definitely feels like a lot of the WWE people just went home over the last couple weeks, but they're doing that kind of government thing where you just like, hush, hush, don't say anything. Don't, like, you're not allowed to say a word, even if you have COVID. You're not allowed to, like, oh, HIPAA. Like, I work in the medical field. I know what HIPAA is. You saying that you have COVID, that ain't HIPAA. You have a right to say if you have a disease or not. They're just trying to protect themselves. So.
Yeah, I'm not proud of my running back for using HIPAA as an excuse to admit that. Maybe he shouldn't have had that fucking party at his house like 2 months ago or some shit. So
yeah, HIPAA means that I can't tell you about my clients and what their disorders are and give their names. I do understand that they're using it for like baseball. Hey, we can't give you who's got COVID and who doesn't during the season, unless the players themselves. I get where they're coming from, but then they also release everyone's injuries. So really, what's the difference at that, you know, with the disabled list? But that's a whole nother story. I don't see it getting much. It's like they're shooting themselves in the foot. If you wanted to shut it down earlier completely and just do a few weeks of old shows, or like they did with the Undertaker thing this past week, I do give him credit for that. Like doing like a 45-minute retrospective of, you know, the Undertaker and just have limited matches. Well, then you're lessening the risk there by doing shorter, taping times by
like you're telling me let me stop you for a second, Steve, because I gotta get this thought out of my head before I lose it. And I've said this before on the show, you were talking about tapings and stuff. Are you telling me that Fox executives, because I know they want quote live programming, you're telling me that if they aired depending on the month, so let's say, you know, come, you're telling me that Fox tonight Backlash 2000, first time ever on network TV, I guarantee you more people will tune into Fox on Friday night to watch Backlash 2000 than watch a fucking garbage episode of SmackDown with six fucking people in the building.
Yep.
I don't think Fox would mind because it's all about ratings. And I guarantee you they get great ratings if you put on a classic pay-per-view or a classic episode of SmackDown than you would something now.
Yep.
I don't get it. Use the network to your advantage.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just like a fucking doormat, which makes no sense. That's what I don't understand. You're telling me that people are enjoying watching, you know, now we have what? We have hockey glass and six developmental guys? What good is that going to do? That doesn't do anything. It still looks like shit. I don't think I watched an episode of Raw or SmackDown in like 4 months, to be honest with you.
It's funny. My friends and I, we have a friend who's like, I got to watch. I'm loyal. I've watched every week. And like, but then he'll complain constantly about it. And we almost just had an intervention with like, what are you doing? Well, like, you're a grown man. Like, why are you watching a 3-hour show and saying how much you hate it? Stop. Like, you don't have to watch it.
You're not on the payroll.
Yeah, you're not really on the payroll. You don't owe people them like anything. That. There's plenty of other wrestling. I'll send you 100 DVDs if you can call me J.O. there's plenty. Like, so we finally, he hasn't watched in 3 weeks. And like we're all patting him on the back, like legitimately, like good job, like get away from your abuser.
Get away from your abuser.
I think that there has been some good AEW stuff. I just don't watch Raw and SmackDown. Like, there's only so much you can watch, and I haven't heard people really talk up anything about Raw or SmackDown. Like I said, they're having shows with a very depleted roster, and it's going to get more depleted, not just because of COVID, people testing positive for COVID, but people not wanting to get COVID and so choosing to go home.
Right. And of course, we want to preface by saying we are recording on Wednesday this week, not our normal Thursday. So going on as we speak is the battle. There is a war going on. A Wednesday night war going on. AEW has night one of Fyter Fest. NXT has night one of the Great American Bash. This is going to get worse before it gets better. Let's hope it doesn't. Be responsible. Wear a mask. The fact that wearing a mask has become bipartisan is utterly nonsense. And guys, I hate talking politics. I really do. But the fact that Your party is designated by whether you wear a mask or not is kind of fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. So whether you're irresponsible wearing a mask or irresponsible not wearing a mask, however that works out, the fact that we have to like designate that right now is kind of shitty, but hopefully that changes too. But anyway, I just want to move. I know this isn't the twin, but someday I'll get invited to the 20. Maybe
the thing is, Scotty, It's only one dude that's out here telling you not to wear a mask. Like, even other Republicans are like, yeah, you should probably wear a mask. It's one dude. It's like, nah, don't wear a mask. Mask of a pussy. Like, really?
It's not comfortable. It sounded like you kind of backpedaled that finally today. But anyway, that's a different story from that. Anyway.
Like, okay. How about everybody but you wear a mask? And let's see how that works out.
And the other guy...
You can go to you have your rally at that Vanilla Ice concert, and we'll just be done with everyone.
You know, Nate, a huge clap of thunder just came over me. So
I heard that.
Don't talk about him too much because he may hit me with his lightning, okay?
Wow.
He's built a weather machine like Cobra.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Hail Hydra. Anyway. Hey, you know what? We have Disney Plus. Lots of X-Men coming to Disney Plus in the next month. So
Lots of X-Men. We get... We get X-Men and Hamilton. Those are the big scores this month.
We're watching Hamilton this week. I've never seen it, so.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to watch Hamilton, too. I've never seen either. It's too fun. You can watch it for however much we pay for Disney Plus than whatever how much a fucking ticket is.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. But now, let's talk about the little fresh-faced baby boy that's running wrestling right now, All Elite Wrestling. All Elite Wrestling is a fine promotion. I like Cody. I'm ambivalent to the Bucks. And I don't dislike Kenny. And I'm talking about those four because they're apparently the bosses, quote unquote. I like the roster, sans Orange Cassidy and Nate and Steve.
My
wick's very low, so if you want to go, I'm here. I can't do that to you, Steve. I heart you too much. But the problem with AEW is you have to only like them and nothing else. I have never met a fan base so illogically stupid than fans that just watch AEW. If you hate WWE, I get that. But don't be irrational or disingenuous when it comes to your thinking of wrestling just because you have to be loyal to AEW and you can't be loyal to anything else. For instance, I've mentioned my friend many times, my good friend Mike and his brother Ralph, who have a show on, who have a wrestling podcast on YouTube called The Squared Circle, Psycho Babble. Great guys. I know I keep mentioning that I'm going to get them on as guests, and we'll get them on down the line. But really nice guys. Go to their follow them on YouTube, Squared Circle Psycho Babble. They're very good. But I pick on Mike a lot because he's one of my coworkers. But because sometimes he'll say some things that just make no sense. Nate, you had alluded to it earlier in the week when I said it, but it still sounds dumb. I know a lot of people tonight are a lot of AEW fans are furious that how dare NXT do something tonight opposite. You know, it's only fucking business. But how dare they do something against my beloved Fyter Fest? And then my friend Mike had the gall to say, WWE is just trolling Cody by using his dad's creation. I said to myself, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Do you really think that Vince is in a room going, let's fuck with that kid by using his dad's thing. Maybe we'll put some war games in this too. I mean, really? He's got more important things to worry about, like his image, his half his roster and his company sick, and the fact that he's, you know, beg, borrowing, and stealing to not let the XFL go in the toilet.
Losing tens, if not hundreds of million dollars this year.
I don't think he's worried about needling Dusty's kid by using the bash. But I called him out on it in the comments on his YouTube thing, and I've talked to him at work. But that's the philosophy, and people rolled with it. Yeah, how dare NXT? So what should they have done tonight? Canceled? Oh, we're sorry, AEW. You can have tonight all to yourself.
Did you skip this tuna salad?
Yeah. no, I get, Nate. You made a good point when you said, you know, why doesn't NXT do Fyter Fest these 2 weeks and NXT do the Bash the next 2 weeks? All right, I like that. That's fine. But they don't have to. They can. No. It's a great alternative.
Yeah, because my big thing with that, Scotty, is, yeah, like, obviously, it's business, but you're dealing with an already depressed, both literally and figuratively, a depressed audience. So I think it probably would actually be better for both companies if you didn't have to choose.
You're right.
Because it's like, I'm already not hungry, and now you're telling me, do you want to go to Applebee's or Sbarro's? I don't know why I just threw Sbarro's out there. And it's like, we could choose Applebee's or Sbarro's tonight and only one business gets money, or we could do Applebee's this week and Sbarro's next week. Again, I don't know why we're going to the mall for Sbarro's.
I don't, but are we?
We should be staying at home, Scotty. Yeah. But like, I think under normal circumstances, I think I would enjoy the competition. But I think like right now, the other thing is like the audience, like your audience needs something to look forward to. And I think if we had a month where every week we know we're getting either Fyter Fest or Great American Bash, I think that's that'd be a good month. And wrestling, Lord knows, like you mentioned off the top, wrestling needs all the positive buzz that it can get right now.
Yeah, and I understand that. And you know what, Nate? If somebody gave me that reasoning, look who it took. It took somebody who's not an idiot to tell me that. Thank you.
But that's your problem, Scotty. You're too busy talking to humanoids all day.
Exactly. Damn it, Bobby Heenan. God rest your soul. You should have told me better. The feeling is that if you're AEW is like sports entertainment extreme. You're either with us or you're against us. Except at least I think AEW fans shower, unlike the guy that runs SEX. But we'll get into that in the B block.
Oh, gross.
The problem is they're so defensive.
Hmm.
And they infuriate me. We didn't have this problem in WCW during the Monday Night War. It was okay to watch both shows, and you had hearty discussion. What was better, Raw or Nitro? Oh, this night Nitro was. Raw had a couple good segments. Overall, I think Nitro was better. But you could have a logical discussion. Now, AEW could have 2 hours of fucking garbage. They're clearly a better show than NXT. Because they are. WWE sucks. Fuck you, Vince. Do you realize? I don't know if you know this, guys. And I'm sorry, Nate. I'm sorry, Steve, but I just state facts. The lowest quarter segment in Dynamite's short history was last week between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy.
Wow.
Why? Because AEW, who wanted to be the sports promotion, lost out to the company that's considered an entertainment promotion. More people wanted to watch Keith Lee, Finn Balor, and Johnny G over some asshole kicking you in the shins for fake.
Now we're having problems.
We'll have some more yoga, Steve. My point
I was
is
listening to an interview with Tony Khan, and he said that Orange Cassidy has actually been one of the biggest positive ratings draws for them over, like, not, I'm not saying that I'm disagreeing with you. I mean, fact's a fact. But, you know, that that's why also you just can't put much faith in the ratings. Like,
right. No, you can't.
Like, you look at that last week, it was kind of nonsensical. Like, what happened? And, like, I heard, I think it was, I don't even remember who it was, like, oh, there was something going on in the news, and AEW fans are going to be more likely to watch current events than WWE. And I'm like, what does that even mean? like, you can't, you have to look at those things as, you know, a long-term graphs, like, you know, week to week, or, you know, over the time period. I mean, just like our COVID stuff, like, you can't go based on one day, because if you did, every Sunday miraculously the numbers are lower. Well, you know why? Because less places are reporting, because people aren't working as much on Sunday. Like, you have to just look over like a 14-day period for COVID. For wrestling, you got to look at a few months. That's why, like, in WCW, the ratings lagged behind a bit. It wasn't like all of a sudden it just dropped. Like, the product got shitty, and after a while, people stopped tuning in.
That's part of why WCW ended up in that boat, Steve, because they kept chasing quarter hour.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, trying to counter program based on what was on the other TV screen. And I know that NXT's been doing that at times too, and I hope they get away from that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're sitting in the back on the TV and trying to see what's on AEW, and I believe they were especially doing that at the beginning. I'm not certain if they're still doing that now. But just put on your own show. Like, don't worry about what the other people are doing. If you put on a good show, people will watch. And I still wish that they – I mean, I understand they wanted to take ratings away from AEW when they started. I wish they would have gone on a different night. I think that's good for all of us. It's not the Monday Night Wars, and everyone does need to, like, take their brand in social media, whereas in, you know, 98, 99, it was – you know, it was a different time period in terms of talking with fans. There was
That's the other thing about ratings too, though, Scotty. That, like, AEW and NXT to me are the best weekly shows right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with
but
that.
But even if you put both of their ratings together, they don't even add up to half of Raw or SmackDown, which are demonstrably worse shows. So, like, I think that ratings are important from the network standpoint, but as a fan, like, I get why fans do it, but to me, like, you should care less as a fan about, is my show doing these numbers versus is my show enjoyable? Is my show worth my time every week?
The only reason I care about ratings is if it affects whether the show is still going to be on.
Yeah.
Whether they have the money to continue. You know,
which was a concern for AEW early, but they, like, luckily by the skin of their teeth, Cody was a clairvoyant, and they were able to sign that deal before COVID hit. So, like, yeah, ratings are important, but they're less important now for AEW than they were 6 months ago.
Right. So, now, as for the other promotions, obviously, well, NXT UK has been ravaged by this, but obviously the other ugly thing that has come out over the last few weeks is, of course, the alleged sexual assault allegations on a myriad of wrestlers and promoters and management, one of them, of course, being Dave Lagana, and that's what's caused NWA to kind of go dark for a period. I think they're going to rebound. I think Dave, Billy's not stupid, and I think they will come back. But and, of course, NXT UK, almost everybody's gotten blamed, apparently. There's guys all over the place. Impact guys have been fired. That is just a product, unfortunately, of the wrestling business culture That stuff's been going back. Look at the Dark Side of the Ring with fucking Moolah. I mean, she was a fucking pimp. Mm-hmm. So shit like this has been going on for 60 years. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it never went away. It now is just handled differently. Now there's more proof instead of hearsay. You know, now you've got texts and tweets and dick pics and other things. You know, now you've got evidence, or a platform to listen that was not that way during the good old boy years. You know, again, we're not here to judge innocent or guilty. Not our place. Those that are guilty will see their day happen. I believe that. And that's been a mess. Then you've just got bad business decisions. And this is where I've got to give Impact some crap. I understand. And this is tough for me to say because I love her to death. But it was history making to make Tessa Blanchard the first woman to ever win a major man's championship. Obviously, the first big one was when China won the IC belt at No Mercy 99. That was a big deal. But Tessa Blanchard winning Impact's world championship was kind of cool. Until you realize she's immature and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
and that's a problem. You know, she's 24 years old. She acts more mature sometimes and not mature others. She's now floating in limbo. So I guess this Moose storyline, is Moose just actually get the real belt now and put the old belt away? I don't know. That's another story for another day, I guess. I thought that storyline was great, by the way. I don't, kind of borrowing the Sean Razor 94 thing and make it your own. Hey, why not? We've recycled crappier storylines. I think it was good. My point is that was a bad, and Impact is kind of suffering because of it now. Ring of Honor is a mess. It's a mess, Steve Willey. It makes you cry. Besides their poor customer service, broke little Steve's heart.
I do have a positive to say about them on my little list of positives. At least they're still paying all of their wrestlers and not having without having any shows. Like, everyone's still getting paid their contracts.
I don't know how, but
well the Sinclair.
I mean, Sinclair. Yeah. Sinclair's not
the one. The one time Sinclair opened up the wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Not for anything else, since they're never on fucking TV.
They probably have no idea that Ring of Honor exists.
They don't know that they're not running shows right now.
Yeah, no idea.
It's like when your neighbor gets fired, but he still keeps dressing for work so his wife and kids don't find out. It's like, where are you going, Bob? I'm just going to drive around town for a while.
Got some breaking news as we're talking. Legit breaking news. I'm not trying to be a smartass. They've just changed the date for the Moxley Brian Cage title match to the 15th. So 2 weeks from when we broadcast this because of, I'm assuming Moxley just doesn't, I mean, Moxley pulled himself off the show because of,
That's right. That was the other great thing. Yeah. Renee got COVID on purpose just to get her husband sick. That's the <everywhere. laughs>
She evil was the Trojan horse.
Like when, but seriously, guys, I've seen on Twitter when Renee announced she got it, all we saw in the comments was poor John. Fuck you, Renee. Poor John. Fuck you, Renee. It's like, who gives a shit if she's actually sick? Let's make sure her husband's kind of not sick. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about line in the sand. No pun intended. Great theme song. About that whole thing. But anyway, you're right, Steve. That is good on Sinclair's part. But they need to, like, they would be one that would benefit from boosting Honor Club. Because Honor Club is crap.
Yeah,
it could be so much better.
They started to put, like, 50 new matches, I think, per month on there. Mm-hmm. But, man, if I was them, I'd be lowering the price.
Yeah.
And, crazy. Yeah, it's just kind of bad business stuff all around. I think Impact shows are pretty decent, but if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, right? You know.
Yeah.
But now that's you've been got, another one of my but, positives is the women's division in Impact is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The last two months they've signed so many people. Tessa or no Tessa.
And that's Tessa in the world main event division or whatever, you know.
Yeah, they got Kylie Rae, Tasha Steelz, They had Hogan there already. Who else did they just? Oh, Kimberly. They just brought in
Nevaeh.
Yeah, that's a huge addition.
Tasha Steelz is good, by
the way. Deonna Purrazzo.
I like.
Wow, I love Tasha actually using Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, I like Tasha Steelz. That's my girl. She was in NWA for a little bit.
Yeah, they got a really, really solid division. Unfortunately, nobody's watching, which makes the Tessa thing that much more damning because, yeah, like I think nobody is saying that she's not talented, but A, like you said, Scotty, she's immature. B, she is her own worst enemy in this business, whether it's the bullying stuff or, you know, the racism stuff or, you know, not returning your employer's phone calls when they want you to do business. She was either she was the wrong person at the right time or she's the right person. It's just the wrong time in her life. Like maybe she'll grow up. Maybe she'll get out of this stage someday. But yeah, right now you can't build a promotion around her because that foundation isn't solid.
No, I mean, who does she think she is? Stan Hansen to Vern Gagne? I mean, really?
Like, I'm not going to drop the title that nobody's watching me defend.
Yeah, I'm going to Japan to wrestle Bruiser Brody. Thank you very much.
They should do because Impact, one thing they've done well is some of their comedy stuff. Like when Ethan Page and Josh Alexander were stuck in Canada, the North, like their videos that they were sending in were pretty funny. They should have like the Rascals go down to Mexico to try to find Tessa Blanchard and the belt to get the belt back.
We need that belt back. If you don't give us the belt back, you're not going to get your deposit.
Yes.
All right. You know, so last question before we head to our break/reads and then head to 2003. Where, I don't know how long it'll be. Will it be immediate? Will it not be immediate? Who will sign Tessa Blanchard? I can't see her. Well, she's gone in Impact. She's not going to go to Japan because they don't put up with that bullshit.
No.
Can't see her going to ROH right now. They're not fluid enough at the moment.
And honestly, despite her shortcomings, she might be too big for ROH right now.
Yeah, they're women.
Yeah, she is.
Awful. She's... and always has been awful.
I don't think she'll go to NWA because, I mean, based on what Dave said in our interview and what I've seen in other things when he was there, and Billy, they have a very harmonious locker room.
Yes,
they
have and no Thunder Rosa was one of the women that originally spoke out against her being a bully and being racist, so I don't think that situation is going to get better.
No, and I love Thunder Rosa. I love Thunder Rosa. I love Allison Kay. I love all the women.
Yeah. Allison Kay was one of the more outspoken people against Tessa too. So yeah, that's not going to be a fit.
No, she the Billy will not put up with her bullshit. So that's not happening. Let's see, Impact, ROH. So that leaves the big two.
You know what I hope? I honestly hope happens. No one signs her for like a year.
I agree.
That might be the best thing for her career.
Yeah,
the best thing for her is to lay low. I agree with you 100%.
Stay in Mexico for the year and then come back next year.
Yeah, or be turned down and have it, you know, kind of the slap in the face. Like, okay, I got to change.
I guess I'm not that important. Now, both promotions have positives for her. Obviously, if she goes to AEW, she's got her dad there. And Tully is not the 1985 Tully, even though the 1985 Tully was fucking great. He's a minister. He's a man of God now. So he's a little more cleansed in his soul, which may be something she needs, and maybe a little fatherly help.
Mm. Or well, she can. She needs is more whitewashing.
That is true. Or she goes to WWE and she goes in a dark room with Charlotte and Sasha and Bianca and Becky and says, "Look, bitch, you could be great here, but we got to take you to the post." You know what I mean? Like
before we hit the break here, like what was the story with her in WWE when she was in the classic? Was it the Mae Young Classic?
Yeah.
Like she rubbed someone the wrong way or something, or
shocking.
Yeah, because I know that's why they didn't sign her.
Yes. Right.
That there was something going on where she was just like ticking people off, or it was like hard to work with, or because pretty much everyone got signed for the most part who wanted to.
Like everywhere she's gone, there are people with stories, and it's like who Cat Williams, he was either talking about Michael Jackson or R. Kelly, but he was like, somebody can lie on you one time, but don't nobody lie on you for 30 years telling the same story as 10 other people that lied on you. Mm-hmm. And so with Tessa, it's like, okay, maybe if she has heat with one particular performer, like that's understandable. You know, people don't always get along at work. But if everywhere she goes, there's at least two or three girls that are like, yeah, she's not a good person, then the problem isn't the rest of the world. The problem is you.
Yep. I don't see anything on here. She wrestled four matches in WWE. She lost to Alexa during Mania weekend tapings in 2016 in Arlington. She lost to your girl. Let's hope she has a mouth off to her. She'll crush her. June 15th, of 2016, she wrestled Carmella and lost. Well, that'll help your ego. And then she was in the Mae Young and she lost to Kairi Sane, who I think won the tournament, right? Yeah. So, but it doesn't say why she left. But I'm sure she fucking mouthed off to somebody like, I'm not losing to a cheerleader when she lost to Alexa Bliss or whatever. So who knows? But I
that's what they need to do. Like, to give her the Warrior Andre treatment and just put her in matches with Nia and Asuka and just people that are whoop her ass. Just people that'll just be stiff. And again, Steve Willey, I'm not advocating mistreatment of performers. I'm just saying what happens between the bells can be a learning experience, a teachable moment, if you will.
Yes, the learning tree of woe. I agree with that. But I
you think it help right. either company, because she obviously she is talented. If she had that come to Jesus moment, Scotty, and got her mind right, I think she could be a star in the WWE. I think she could also be the nucleus of AEW in their women's division. But that's the big if. Like, can she get her act together? Because consider made all the time for talent, but only as long as you're not causing headache to people that sign the checks.
And what's funny is she's got – her father is arguably one of the greatest workers ever. Her stepfather, one of the nicest guys ever, Magnum TA.
Magnum.
You know, how do you act like such an asshole? I mean, I just don't understand. Anyway, I hope we all are cleansed by this. It's not going to get better tomorrow, but I felt like we needed
a nice – everything that the internet fans think Charlotte is. Like with the nepotism and the privilege and – having a higher opinion of yourself and not working. Like, because Charlotte actually puts in the work. Not that Tessa doesn't work, but Tessa, you can tell. Like, there's a bit of you owe me instead of I need to earn this.
Yep. Yeah, no, I say Charlotte's in that, but you're right. Charlotte's worked her ass off to get to this point. So, all right. Well, that was an exceptional.
Arn Anderson's daughter running around acting like this.
That's right. No, Arn would put her. Yeah. Arn would still use spanking.
Now, Paul Rowe, that's another story.
And before we get to our fun part of the program, Brother Nate, what is going on with you, Papa Marcus, PR Director Baby Simba, and things over on the Place to Support Patreon?
I mean, I thought you were going to ask me what is going on my TV screen, because we've got, like, the greatest wrestler, the only wrestler right now over on AEW with your boy Hangman Page. Like, he's the only person in the wrestling business I trust right now. And then over on NXT, we've got Sasha Banks with a face full of green mist. And so, yes, there's a lot going on my TV. But what's going on the Patreon, we've got – New episode of The Kings of Sport that is set to drop this weekend. It's going to be myself, Marcus Vandenberg, and a special guest, TJ McClune. And we're going to be talking football, particularly Cam Newton. Now, the QB1 for the Patriots. So we're going to talk a lot of football. We're going to talk NBA dealing with COVID. We're probably going to touch on some of the stuff that's going on in the wrestling industry that you spoke on in the A-Block, Scotty. We got that going on. We've got episodes of the TDT Talks up, or the TDDT Talks, as Steve Willie would say. Right now, there's four episodes. Yes, add some D, throw some D's on it. There's four episodes of TDT Talks up right now, with more to come in the future. Scotty already mentioned 2020 Twin, which is our political show with myself and Chris from LA, who's a political science professor. We'll probably be dropping another show sometime early July in honor of 4th of July, in honor of America's birthday. Maybe we'll have Chris give a State of the Union on what's been going on in politics leading up to the election in November. But there's a lot of stuff on there. $5 gets you in the door. If you want to pay more, we won't stop you. I'm not going to be like Tessa Blanchard and not respond if you want to pay more than $5. But you can find the Patreon at patreon.com/kingsofsport. And again, sign up and get at least, by this point, we're probably over 100, maybe pushing 120 in terms of the hours of content that are available right now. So if you're looking for something, if you've watched all of Netflix, if you watch, like I actually talked to somebody the other day that said they watched everything on Netflix, which seems impossible. If you've used up all the content available out there and need some more, check out the Patreon. Approved by one Steve Willie and one Scott Criscoe.
Absolutely.
If you sign up for the Patreon, I believe in the last TDT talk, I dropped the F-bomb a couple times.
Yes. But you're going to say, Steve, if you sign up for Patreon, you're going to do DDP yoga for everybody.
No one wants to see that.
My wife doesn't want to see
that. You got to sign up for like the $500 level.
Yeah, exactly. By the way,
one-on-one yoga with Steve Willie.
That's right. $500. TJ McClune, by the way, a PTB Wrestling Network alumnus.
Yes.
He was TJ. It took us so long. He goofed with me. He goes, I like the way you guys say my name. It's McClune, but we used to say McAloon, and that was kind of our funny gag. But TJ's awesome, and he is an alum. He's going to – if you go to placetobe.podbean.com, you can go to the tags on the side of the right side of the screen, and you can click on his show and listen to some of his old – let me see what he's – do I have it open still? Let's take a look and see. When did he have his show on the network here? Let's see. TJ. Where are you, TJ? There's the TJ McClune show. Let's see. The last show he had on, he was on with us. There's 20 episodes. Most of them took place in early 2016, late 15, early 16. We did some shows. So if you want to listen, obviously listen to the Kings of Sport. And then if you want to go to the back catalog, go to placetobe.podbean.com and check out some of his older episodes.
Yeah, TJ's a good guy. I often refer to him as because he's a Southern. Well, he lives in Texas now, so he's got a bit of that Southern in him. And so I always refer to him as Clay Travis if Clay Travis had a soul.
Oh, that's funny. What is he? A Penguins fan, I think. Right?
Yes, Penguins. Yeah, he's a Penguins and Steelers fan living in Texas.
Oh, bastard. All right. So check it out. Kings of Sport Patreon. I am a sponsor, as is brother Steve. So do it. $5 gets you in the door. $500 gets you Steve Willie at your house. Watching ROH and putting your legs over your head like DDP. Or Scott Hall. Or Jake Rotwell. I don't know if Jake even remembers, but so
Jake does it with a chair.
Jake does it with a chair, exactly.
Jake is not very good.
No. On the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Some hot stuff in the last week. On the second GWCW Pod Blast, Drew Wardlaw joined and Ryan Everett. I was able to be on that show. We talked about the legacy of the Dangerous Alliance as we continue giving everyone as much research as possible for their GWCW lists. On the ninth episode of Jenny and the Gems, we dived out of the hidden gems section of the WWE Network to do UWF's Blackjack Brawl. Yes, that was my idea, and I instantly regretted it. But it's a fun show, so check it out. On the newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, one of our newest shows, Logan and the gang recap the debut episode of TNA Impact, as well as weekly pay-per-view number 98. They started a little bit ahead of us.
Those bastards.
Yes.
Those bastards.
But he wanted to... Their show's mostly about the weekly Impact show, not necessarily pay-per-views, because those will end up fading anyway. But they're doing a good job. Different perspective than us. Hey, the more the merrier, I say. Here on the feed. Here on the feed. On the newest episode of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy put a bow on their GWWE list with looking at their last six matches of his list. On the most recent episode of Body Pressure Luck, defending champion Ryan Everett battles Grooney and Mike Poulin to a tight finish. The newest episode of the Place B podcast was earlier this week. JR and I had on Dave Hall, an old-timer, to do the 11-24-90 MSG House Show. Jake, Tim, and Jenny break down three episodes of NXT TV from the spring of 2014 on the newest PTB NXT. And on the newest NWA Saturday special, the doctor and myself discussed the third face on our Mount Rushmore, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. So check out all the great stuff on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. The Pop Feed's doing pretty good, too. Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, Great Debate, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, of which I'll be on soon, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. So subscribe today. Two other great feeds on the other side of the quad, Jennifer Smith, The Jenny Position, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, The Journey Through Infinity, which I am on, and more, Brother Sister Rewatch Pod. And, of course, the North-South Connection Pod, brought to you by my PIC, JT, Chad, Aaron, Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, Extreme Three-Way, Jeff Learns Wrestling, Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, so much more. A tremendous feed of good stuff there. We talked about GWCW project for 2020. We are officially halfway through the year, so you have 6 months from today, 6 months to continue your research. Get your 100 matches in by New Year's Eve, and then we'll do our countdown in 2022. And I think, guys, we should do a ton of great shows in 2022 for GWCW here on the main event. Facebook.com/GWCW matches. On our social media pages, the greatest junk food of all time tournament ended. Nacho cheese Doritos won. Starting this weekend, guys, the greatest soundtrack song tournament, or greatest song from a movie. Doesn't necessarily have to be a specific soundtrack, like Layla from Goodfellas, or anything from, or the entire Purple Rain soundtrack.
I hope this one's better than the junk food tournament, because that one didn't take my breath away.
Oh! You're supposed to say that for the end of the show, Steve! No, actually, Nate's supposed to do that at the end of the show. All right. PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, Matt's Disney Live Action Journey, of course, Glennie Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web, and of course, go to Amazon.com. And /PTB. Wait, do that again. PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon. And we get a little taste to help keep the site running. So please do that. All right. With all that done, it is time to take the field. No, sorry, wrong show. Let us now go back to notes getting ready. Or do you have an email from the general manager? No. I've just received an email from the Raw general manager.
That might have been the worst year in wrestling.
That's why I said that, Nate. I was waiting for you to do that. It is time now to go back in time to this week's installment of our classic TNA pay-per-view recap. TNA is a hot thing right now. Classic TNA. Ooh, think of all these shows. People want to do TNA. How about that, huh? And guys, we have gotten through a calendar year. I am very impressed with us. Very impressed. We flipped the calendar tonight, gentlemen. It is a new year, but do we have the same problems? Steve Willey, Nate Milton, Scott Criscolo will tell you whether they did or not. We are going back to January 8th, 2003 for NWA/TNA pay-per-view number 26, live from the Nashville Fairgrounds. I want to ask, guys, before we start, did the TNA logo, the TNA logo we know, did it debut before this night? I don't remember. It didn't, right?
This is the debut of it. Yeah, this is the new logo, the new ring, the new Chirons.
Yep. I think that was the whole thing of Russo smashing the set at the last episode a couple weeks before. So that makes sense. That makes sense. So January 8th, 2003, the first NWA TNA pay-per-view of the new year from the fairgrounds in Nashville. Quick check of your champions recap. Your world champion, still Jeff Jarrett. Your X-Division champion, Sonny Siaki. And your tag team champions, the Disciples of the New Church. Dark matches. There were two of them. Did these two guys ever meet? And I wonder if they had a lasting relationship. CM Punk.
Who?
What was that? Defeated Colt Cabana.
Huh?
I wonder if they ever became friends. Not sure. Nah, probably just in passing. And AJ Styles pinned Adam Jacobs. Is that somebody we're supposed to know?
I looked him up before the show started, and I could not figure it out.
Okay, so it's probably just some scrub. Okay, so there's your dark matches. All right. We have a hot opening segment, Steve.
Oh, God.
As hot as you could get. Paint the picture, my friend.
Sure. I mean, they did a pretty long recap video.
It's like six minutes.
Yeah, it was six minutes. Recapping the last few weeks, the formation of SEX with Vince Russo. I was hoping with the new year and with the destruction of the set, they'd get rid of the main theme song in that video. But unfortunately, that has not happened yet. But as we said, we got the new logo and the new ring. And we start off with Mike Tenay in the ring with Jerry Lynn, AMW, and R-Truth. Pretty much the MVPs, I would say, of the show between tag team,
I can see that,
heavyweight, and X Division. For some reason, there's Sara Lee, Corsica Joe, and Eddie Marlin at ringside because they're trying to put together the past, the present, and the future. And the future, they said, was Rick Santel and Chris Vaughn, their security guards. Obviously, huge, huge names. Went on to be WWE Hall of Famers, Rick Santel and Chris Vaughn. Vince Russo's out already. He says he can make anyone a wrestler. He made Judy Bagwell a wrestler. Mike Tenay's making a plea to the NWA fans. It sounds like a Sarah McLachlan PSA at the end. Russo was out and tripped over the guardrail when he came out, which was awesome. Tenay is the negative face. Russo's just talking trash to Tenay, like trying to slap him down. I don't know why AMW didn't just start beating him down to protect Tenay.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
What's it? Yeah, like why are you letting this happen? So Russo just starts talking trash about Sara Lee for no reason. I doubt he even knows who she is. So she gets in the ring and starts slapping him, and then like
Listen, bro, I hate your pound cake. Yeah. It's dry.
Your pound cake.
Eddie Marlin loved her pound cake.
Wow. Of all people to make that joke on this show.
So, yeah, the whole ring fills up. And then they decided that SEX was going to take over the women's locker room, which I think was the same locker room that they had shown all the other times when they were doing backstage stuff earlier on. And the only difference was that there was a mirror in there. It's like, oh, wow, that really makes this building look even trashier than it is. Like, yes, SEX, we're going to take over this locker room. And it's just like, it's just a bathroom is all it is. Hi, Rudd. This took 20 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
We're 20 minutes into the show.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
So rough.
Yeah. This was a
Mike Tenay's not a guy you really can rally around, seriously. No. If Bullet Bob came out there and warbled his way through the promo, I think I could deal with it. But who gives a shit Mike Tenay trying to, like, rally the troops? Really?
Yeah, he's passionate. I'll give him that, but
should have been down west.
Yeah, probably should have been. Yeah, like
honestly, you know what's funny that that Nate says that, because I think it would have looked better, because mm-hmm. Don West is a better rah-rah guy. Seeing Tanay in his dopey pursed lips.
You almost like Don West is like the, between Tanay and West, Don West is the fan, right. Whereas Tanay's the professional. So it would have made more sense. And like you said, Scotty, like Don West just has that energy naturally in a way that Mike Tanay doesn't.
Right. No, I agree 100%. I think if Don West was in that spot, I think he would have looked better standing up to Russo, although who wants to stand that close to him, because he's a swamp ass. But Don West, I think, would have looked better standing up to him than Tanay with his stupid tux and his goofy hair and pursed lips or whatever. So, anyway. I am enjoying the turf war, though. Gets better as the show progresses, in my opinion. But
I just don't want Vince Russo to be the face of it. And Mike Tanay, for that matter. And Bullet Barber Armstrong, sure. for that matter. Like, yeah. it's just the same complaints we have about the general managers for all these years. Like, they don't need to be the people in charge. Or just take a back seat. Like, hey, we're the ones putting this together. Here's our spokesperson. I was just going to say Loki. He's a life coach, you know. our first match, we have Kid Cash and Easy Money teaming up together, because it took 40 episodes to figure that one out, or 27 episodes, sorry, versus David Young and Tony Mameluke, who has got some new music too. So we got new ring, new logo, some new music. They're trying to upgrade a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just some quick highlights. Cash does his jump over the top into a run on Young. Young takes over with some power moves, and that was what they were trying to get across here, that David Young went to Japan, came back, doesn't have Bobcat anymore. Bobcat, you know, we miss you and your three episodes.
Yeah.
So that he's going to be like the Hoss of the X Division. This was the start. TNA just has the dirt worst referees, and Scott Armstrong is like the head of the worst referee. Like, he misses a tag looking right at it. Just clear as day it happens, and he says like that he didn't see it. So then they had to go redo it. And like to do the redo a hot tag. Crowd stopped responding. Kid Cash and David Young both simultaneously went off the top rope and missed. Cash double jump Rana and tornado DDT. But Mameluke makes a save. Money does his buckshot lariat, and that was blocked into David Young was supposed to do a spine buster there, but totally botched it, so he did the regular spine buster to... I don't think they won. That was when Triple X came out, and Loki Daniels and Helix Skipper, and just destroyed all four of them. Did some really cool triple team moves, too. The match itself wasn't much, but the destruction by Key Daniels and Helix, who now call themselves Triple X... said no one gave them contracts, no one flew them out, and so that is why they joined up with Russo. And then Jarrett came out and challenged all three to win the gauntlet, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but it cracked me up. Jarrett was trying to hold all three of them back, so apparently they were supposed to have a chair involved, so Jeremy Borash himself slid the chair into Jarrett.
Yes, I saw that.
That was not supposed to be seen, but good for you, Borash.
Yeah, no way. That was funny.
Read your notes.
Yeah, the match was just there, and they were like uncharacteristic botches from guys who are usually at least solid.
Yeah.
But you're right, Steve. Like the big thrust was the post match, and Triple X already showing that they have more star presence than half roster at this point.
Yeah. I would say they're the most hardcore part of sex.
Woo! Yeah, because
you see their match with NC-17.
I like this match. I didn't think it was too bad. The TNA refs are pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah.
This show they're pretty awful.
Horrible for them.
Yeah. But otherwise, I thought that
Jimmy Cornerus would have a field day watching this show. Just that's not the way it's done, boys.
Yes. So good opener. I enjoyed it. But yeah, the refereeing is not great. But I feel like tonight is a harbinger of things to come in terms of the roster and in terms of their abilities. But I love this trio. I think we all knew we were going to love this trio. But I this is the first time I'm really delving into it. And I really like this trio of Skipper and Daniels and Loki. Good use of X Division guys that aren't in the general rotation right now for the title because you have a heel as champion. So I think that's got to help boost the division on the babyface side. And I think we're going to see some good movement from there in the coming weeks as well. What do we have next, Steve?
Well, speaking of the X Division champion, we have Siaki coming up against Jason Cross, who won the the Gauntlet or the Battle Royal, or I can't keep track of these TNA matches. Jason Cross won a number one contenders match because he had that special move. But right before that, Goldie's back in the NWA locker room, and Bob Armstrong's talking to someone on the phone, and I completely forgot that this happened. Even though I watched this a day ago, I forgot that they set something up for later on. So yeah, it's Jason Cross's finishing move versus Sonny Siaki. Desire comes out with Sonny Siaki, and they put on the Chiron Miss Sex. And so Tanae and Don West made fun of it and did not say anything of that sort again. Early exchange won by Cross. He had control. And Jason Cross, this is one of the first times we really saw him one-on-one in an extended match. He's just an early 2000s frat boy. This is what I say. He's got completely has the chain tattoo around the barbed wire tattoo or whatever around his bicep. And he's just every single one. I'm sure he listens to Limp Bizkit all the time. he just doesn't. He's too clean cut, but he's trying too hard. He's like a gymnast who wants to be a wrestler. He does some cool moves. He did a corkscrew flip off the top.
It's if you bought a video game, Steve Willie. So let's just say WWE 2K19, which has AJ Styles in it,
mm-hmm.
and you created a wrestler that was basically AJ Styles, but it's not quite the same because you don't have all the programming skills of the people that made the game. And you end up with Jason Cross.
slightly skinnier. Frosted tips.
Yep, you get the wrong numbers, you're doing a caw. That's what happens. Yeah. Bad caw.
Not as smooth in the ring. He's AJ, just not as good in every measure.
Yeah. And the funny thing about his moves.
So we've got great value AJ taking on great value Rock.
Yes. It's not even good enough to be the Kirkland brand. His move, his shooting star press knees, it looks cool. But if you really just think about it for a minute, all it is that you slightly over-rotate on a shooting star press. And so many people can do shooting star presses. I mean, I can't, but a lot of wrestlers can. So it's not that's all he does. And some flip dives. Siaki, to his credit, this is... We've talked about in the past how he needs a better wrestler in the ring to carry him along. And I thought he did decent in this match. Cross is getting a lot of love from the crowd. I'll give him that. They oversold Desire at ringside. They keep saying over and over again that she's every man's Desire. Siaki ends up hitting this incredible pump handle pile driver, which should be his finish. It's way better than Siakaplex or whatever the hell. I can't
pronounce it. Shinarka.
Yeah, the match should have been over, but there needed to be a ref bump for some reason. And then I guess they just had the ref bump so you could see Cross's finishing groove, but Desire interfered, and then Siaki won. So Bob Armstrong comes out. I thought that was over. You could have just ended it right there.
Yeah.
But Armstrong's we're not going to have that stuff in NWA. So here comes Russo. Russo says we no one came here to see Armstrong, to which I counter with no one came here to see Russo. So then Don Harris came out, dangerously chucked Jason Cross over the top rope. And then immediately goes into a tag team match between Jerry Lynn and Round the Truth Killings versus, I'm getting tired, BG James and Don Harris. I'll let you guys cut in for a second to let your, give us your thoughts on that match so I can
please do
take a breath.
No, take a breather, Steve. Your time for the first match, that tag, just to recap, the first match, the length was 7:42. This match was 8:10. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I agree that Sonny Siaki could be a well-refined wrestler if he was, you know, if he had the right move set. But Nate, I feel like, and Steve made a good point about the finisher, like that's a better finisher. I feel like he's an X Division guy trying to act like a main eventer when I don't think at this point he has the chops to be one. You know? I think he's fine in the X Division, but he is like great value Rock. Like he looks like him. He doesn't try the eyebrow, thank God, but he's trying to be him. But in the grand scheme of things, he's just not quite there.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Sonny Siaki is he's got talent, but TNA has found a way somehow to simultaneously push him too hard, but also not give him the support he needs. Like, true. They put him in this featured position, but they're not doing him any favors. Like, this match was pretty good. It was probably one of Siaki's better matches, but we've seen week after week him being put in there with guys that don't really fit his style. And so you get this guy that you're telling us is a big deal coming off looking average at best.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he can be better if he's given a little more seasoning in terms of a better finisher, a way to work around the fact that you're not the Rock. You don't have a heavyweight build and you'd be a pretty damn good X Division guy. But I feel like he's trying to be a hybrid, and he's not doing a very good job of it. As for Jason Cross, I feel like there's a ton of guys that look like frat boy dicks. 2003 was the year of the frat boy dick, because you have him, AJ looks like one, fucking Randy Orton right now looks like one. They all look like – there's a ton of guys that have that douche look. And what was it about barbed wire tattoos? Like, you know, only – I mean, even fucking, you know – Goldberg didn't have it, but I don't know. It's phony. But in any event, I agree with you, Steve, that we agree with you, Steve, that Sonny Siaki could be a hell of a lot better if he was able to adjust his moveset a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You can unyoga your legs now, Steve.
I just like, I'm looking at this again. It's like Jerry Lynn and Ron Killings, like this team is cool. Like these are stars and they're going against BG James and Don Harris.
Yeah.
And Truth starts off with one of the highest, longest, fastest top rope dives I have ever seen. It was just like, it is like his nickname. It was Superman. It was incredible dive. Lynn on the outside, drop kicks a chair into BG James's face, busts open his mouth. So that was cool. Jerry Lynn mocks BG James with that stupid wiggle leg drop while Truth and Harris fight in the crowd. I thought Harris and BG James might be in the contention for the worst tag team of all time. like if you could pick like the two worst people to tag up in this entire roster.
Right.
Because Don's worse than Ron. Don's still not taking his shirt off because he's
no.
Yeah.
And he should.
Lynn takes the heat, and you know, which is perfect. This is like a perfect tag team. Lynn, you know, should be the guy who takes the heat. So everyone starts turning for Jerry, and then you tag in Ron Killings, you know, who's just the house of fire. Did Truth hit a 450 knee drop? Was that what he hit off the top rope?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a 450, but he just dropped the knees right on it. Guy's gut. And then all of a sudden there's like someone coming to the ring in a used Goodwill sweater. And I had no idea who it was at first until they said that, you know, that's Mike Sanders. Jesus Christ. Mike Sanders is there.
Yeah.
causes the disqualification. So Jerry Lynn and Ron Killings win the match, and Mike Sanders is in SEX now.
It wouldn't have killed them to let Truth and Lynn get a clean win before Mike Sanders made his a surprising, astonishing debut.
Yeah. You got to protect Don.
Mike fucking Sanders.
Mike Sanders. Here's the thing about Mike Sanders. Like, Mike Sanders had some talent as a talker, but why? If you're Vince Russo, if sex is a real conglomeration, Scotty, Vince Russo's the only one that does the talking. So why would I hire this guy who's not a good wrestler but who's a pretty decent talker to join my group? Like, in case he gets like Steve Willie and he needs a break and somebody else can talk for 5 minutes, is that why he's bringing yeah. Mike Sanders in, the backup QB?
We're on the Wildcat.
Listen, bro, I don't know what else to say besides shit. It's your turn.
So Mike Sanders is Ronnie Brown.
Or my, yes. My other theory is that, you know, because sex is kind of supposed to be like NWO in a way. And Vince Russo has such ADHD that he's already made it to the B team.
Yes.
Of the NWO in 3 weeks.
So I need to find my Virgil.
Yeah. All right. Now Horace Hogan. Okay. We got it.
Horace Hogan. Oh God. Anyway, this is probably a waste of a money spent, but we'll see. I didn't think Vince Russo loved this guy that fucking much, but okay.
Yeah, that sweater though. Whew. Like, you're making your big debut after being gone for such a long time, and you wore this like ripped up sweater. So then we go backstage for one of today's, you know, one-on-one interviews with Percy Pringle, aka Paul Bearer. Not looking good. But I did think this was a great interview. Like, talked about his years coming up through wrestling and in world class, and I didn't realize he was there for 6 years, and then to this point in WWF was there for 12 years. And, you know, he said, "Hey, I haven't made a statement. I'm not going to make a statement on why I'm here. I don't really know yet," which I thought was kind of funny. Like, it might have been a shoot comment. Like, he might very well not realize why he's there. And I thought it was a good interview. I thought Tanay and Percy had really good chemistry. I wouldn't mind seeing Percy Pringle on commentary once in a while after seeing this interview.
True.
And that was all we saw, Percy. So, like,
yep.
Yeah,
he's another one. Three weeks in, it's like, oh, we just got him.
But, I was never a big Athletes in Action or whatever the fucking group was called. America's Most, or whatever the hell they were called in WCW. I was not the biggest fan. I felt like they were like leftover dudes that they slapped together in some group. I don't know. I was not a fan. But the problem is they're the one. He's the one guy in that group that didn't last in WWE. Like, didn't go to, like, you know, like Jindrak and
yeah.
Palumbo and all these other guys and Stasiak
was part of it.
Stasiak, and no, I'm thinking the other guy.
O'Hare,
thank you, Sean O'Hare. Like all those guys, but poor little who. And wasn't Mike Sanders like leading that group?
He was the leader.
Yeah, apparently not a very good one.
At one time, he was the commissioner of WCW.
Yeah, that too. Nobody remembers that either. Anyway. The highlight of the night for me is up next, Steve.
Is this round five between AMW and the Disciples?
I believe it is. I believe it is. It's the final time.
Yeah, the final showdown. I don't believe that. I'm I am going to place money that there's going to be more AMW versus Disciples. My first question going into this, will Russo be in this segment? It should be like a new game that we play. Will Russo
in
the segment?
Well, Disciples of the New Church aren't even in that storyline. So, and yeah. A Russo James Mitchell thing. Ugh. Unless you wanted to borrow Trinity or Xfinity or whatever the fuck her name is, and you know, smacked her in the ass because she had some pretty high Daisy Dukes on.
I'm gonna give my two negatives right off the bat, because I think this could have been a really good match. My first negative is that I've said this for the last three matches. Like, their first two matches, like, had all this blood. Like, there was a second one, I think all four of them bled. So I was expecting all four to juice again tonight, and that didn't happen. The second one, this was the worst refereeing. And it was Scott Armstrong again. It was awful. So they go around get ringside at the beginning, just like they have been. Slash gave Michinoku Driver on the ramp, and then a Whirlybird in the ring looked really good. I thought at first, I was like, getting all negative on the match. I'm like, man, this match is really starting to wear out its welcome. And I was wrong. It picked up a bit. The ref kept missing the tag, like, twice. Finally, there's a hot tag to Harris. And then just everything breaks down. Slash throws powder into Lee's eyes in accident, and Storm hits a spear. The ref missed the powder, by the way. He already missed the tag twice. Armstrong gets distracted again, so for the third time, and misses a tap out when I think Slash was in the sharpshooter. Then Mitchell brings in the spike, spikes him in the head. That also missed. That got a two count. Did Slash bring like a whip in the ring for a second?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, there was like a whip in the ring. Armstrong was distracted again. It's like Belladonna and James Mitchell keeps distracting. And then like Lee has some sort of weapon and the ref's distracted again. These are all two. Brian Lee gets a tombstone for two, and then Harris almost murders Lee with a tombstone. That got two. Armstrong is distracted another time. There's a pin happening that he completely misses, but he's supposed to count because he's looking outside the ring still. Mm-hmm. And then eventually AMW hits the death sentence on the chair. They regain the tag championships. I do think this would have been a really good match if Scott Armstrong was not even in Nashville. But I think, Scott, yeah, I think you might have a differing opinion again.
Yeah, I actually...
Orange Cassidy hater.
Well, because these guys actually do moves. 14:15 your match time for this one, and the thing before that, the Ron Killings, Jerry Lynn, 6:29. I love this match. I liked it a lot, actually. It might be the best I've seen Slash and Brian Lee, and that speaks volumes. Except Brian Lee's pants kept falling down. Somebody forgot to get him a belt. But I thought AMW. I think it was the best Harris and Storm have looked in terms of cohesiveness. I think they finally are. I think they're finally working as an amazing team together, and with better teams, I think they'll be even better. But hopefully, we don't have to see any more Harris Brothers matches with them or any of these other fucking slugs, because I think they're immensely talented and could be the face of the tag division. As a matter of fact, you talk and think about it, guys. 2003 overall would be not be the best year for tag teams. Well, maybe not on Raw. SmackDown had some good tag teams. The world's greatest tag team, so in wrestling in general in 2003, AMW could really fortify themselves as a top flight tag team in all of wrestling if they can break away from these slug shit teams and get some fresh, you know, get some good talent and get some good teams. So that if TNA Nate can kind of beef up this tag division and end this feud and create some good young teams, AMW could really separate themselves as one of the best teams in wrestling at this moment.
Yeah, and then the problem is that they've had so many bad opponents, which is why maybe some of that cohesiveness hadn't really kicked in until now, Scott, because this is also the best match we've seen out of the new church. Obviously, I mean, granted, it's a low bar, but this was the best New Church match that we've had during these entire 27 episodes. So, yeah, I thought that the match was decent. AMW is starting to get their wits about them in this division. TNA probably should have pulled the trigger on them as the face of this division a month ago. Like, because what else are we doing? Like, we're out here with the Harrises and the New Church, and there was some other group that was very similar to the New Church that didn't need to be around while we could have been building this team up for the past month. But they finally got here, and you're right, Scott. Like, this is – they got a lot of runway ahead of them, given the talent in TNA. It's just a lot of times it felt like management didn't know where to put the pieces on the chessboard so that you could have a good game.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And if you can lay the board out right and put a lot of talent around it, you can do some amazing things. Ooh. And I think with TNA now lasting, you know, this amount of time, and they're here to stay, if they want to distance themselves and stick with the, you know, the shitty main events with Russo and those guys, that's fine. But come up with a solid tag team and not, you know, fucking BG James and fucking Fat Harris, you know, and come up with some solid tag guys. You know, if you're not going to have – if you have the X Division champion in your stable, then I would like to think the Triple X, you know, steps to the fore. And, again, we're talking as if it hasn't happened yet, but that's kind of what we do here. Hopefully, as we move ahead, Daniels, Skipper, and Low-Key kind of move into that slot and maybe challenge – for the tag titles, and then we'll really see some amazing stuff, because I think then Storm and Harris will need to adapt after, you know, working 3 months with these fucking slugs, that they'll get, you know, they'll have to kind of hit the gas pedal. So, but I still think this match is really good. We have new tag team champions, AMW now two-time champs. I think that's a good thing, but I think the tag division does need to kind of an injection of some fresh teams, and maybe from the new faction, and kind of this galvanizing of talent that maybe we'll get some that will happen. So the show goes up from there, right, Steve?
Well, I mean, it does in a way. Well, match. Oh man, so Kurt Hennig comes out and cuts a nonsensical promo. Bizarre, like saying how, like, beating up, you know, Brock Lesnar on a plane is priceless. He's trying to do like a riff on the credit card commercial and just failed. There's an axe handle up on top of the pole because Vince Russo. Flair comes out, he has a burlap sack, is what they called it, and there's something in here. So, David Flair has offenses only made from kicks and chops. Luckily, this match was pretty quick because they're outside for a bit. Hennig gets back in the ring, tells, I think it was Chris Vaughn or whoever they talked about earlier, the security guard, to climb the pole for him to bring him down to the axe handle. So the security guy gave it to Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig pushed him out of the ring, even though he just helped him, and smacked David Flair, and that was the end of the match. And then Flair hit him with the burlap bag, which had some sort of sign in it or something, but it was a secret, so they couldn't tell. It was a terrible, terrible match. And sadly, this is Kurt Hennig's last wrestling match ever, because he passes away in a few weeks. And this match was absolutely terrible, and made even sadder by the fact that this is how he ended his career and his life.
He looked like a fucking asshole in this match. He looked awful health-wise. He just still looked bloated. Why was he being so douchey to that poor security guy? He gives him the axe handle. He fucking almost kills him, shoving him off the apron. Like, what a dick.
And he was the face, and the other kid was the face. And the thing that cracked me up is that the only reason they had that security guy there was clearly neither Hennig nor Flair could climb the pole to get the axe handle. Because if Flair could have done it, he could have brought it down and dropped it or something, and Hennig just get it. Like, why have a pole match if neither person can climb the pole?
Right. I mean, it's... But this is sad. Having said that, and this has nothing to do with... I mean, I don't know if that's to do with his passing, if that's a big deal, but... It seems like TNA is finally starting to kind of rid themselves of the guys they don't need. Like, obviously, we haven't seen Brian Lawler, and thank God for that. I don't know how long Hennig was going to stick around anyway, but they don't need him. I mean, they didn't need a lot of this, a lot of these expensive guys. I mean, BG James is helping his dad out. Right. He looks like fucking crap.
I would argue they don't need David Flair or Mike Sanders too, but I'm sure they're not even as close to as expensive as.
Yeah, it breaks your heart because, you know, you look back at, you know, we just did on Monday's episode of the Place to Be podcast, JR and I were on with Dave Hall and we did the November 90 MSG house show and he had a great match with Texas Tornado and had a great post-match beating guys up with the belt, hitting Piper and everything. Fast forward 12 years and he looks, I mean, it's tough. Because he didn't even look this bad. You go back a year earlier when he made that surprise return at the O2 Rumble, and he looks amazing. He looks a little bigger. He's not as trim as he did, say, you know, 89, 90, 91. Aged helps, age is part of that. But he just looks awful, not just wrestling-wise, but health-wise. And it's no surprise that I want to say the official date was February 20th, but I'm going to take a look now and see. I think it was February 20th he passed away. February 10th. So this was his last match, and less than a month later, a little over a month later on February 10th, he dies at the age of 44. And that was a gut punch. I remember when that came up on the beginning of the Raw, beginning of Raw that week on the screen. That was a gut punch when I found that out. And that wouldn't be the last gut punch in 2003 because there's a guy that works for there's another guy that's on this that's been on TV the last couple weeks on TNA that also passes away later in this calendar year, and that was also a pain, that also a gut punch, although also not a surprise. But it was embarrassing, Nate. It was embarrassing. What a half-ass match it was. Fucking treats the guy on the apron like shit. It's just it's unpleasant. It was rough to watch.
Yeah, and it speaks to what we were talking about earlier with the WWE and their handling of COVID. Like, at some point, the company has to look out for the best interest of its employees. And TNA did not do that in the case of Kurt Hennig or in the case of Scott Hall or in the case of Brian Lawler and so many other guys who shouldn't have been on this TV program, but they're there because they're friends with the people that run the company. So, yeah, obviously, it's sad and then tragic that this dude who was one of the all-time greats passed away that young, but like choices have action or choices have consequences. And so, yeah, like he shouldn't have made those choices in his life. And TNA at this point should have been like, yeah, you know, we like you, but, and you can hang out backstage with Road Dogg and the Harris brothers, but we're not going to put you on our show because A, you're in no condition to work, and B, it doesn't do anything to help the younger stars.
Right, exactly.
Because David Flair didn't look good. Like, not that David Flair would look good anyway, but this match did nothing to promote David Flair.
No, and just having all these extraneous guys on this roster, like, that's not helping either. Like, why do you need David Flair? It's like, why do you need Mike Sanders? I mean, well, all right. I'll give Mike Sanders the benefit of the doubt. At least he's a wrestler. Love David Flair to death. Love his dad. But why is he there? He didn't do anything in WCW, really. Well, he did, but not great. Well,
they could have kept paying Paulina from Tough Enough with David Flair's salary.
Exactly. So, I don't know. But not a good way to go. If that's the lasting visage of arguably one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of the business, it's hard to watch. Hard to watch.
I don't know what happened between this and his unfortunate passing. Like, what happened the couple weeks in between? Like, was he, supposed to be at the next show or the next couple shows? Or I honestly don't know.
I'm taking a look now. No, it just says he wrestled his last TNA match and last ever on January 8th, 2003, defeating David Flair in an accidental pole match. Yeah, that was it. Doesn't say anything else. The Hillsborough County Medical Examiner's Office declared acute cocaine intoxication be the cause of his death. It was stated that steroids and painkillers also contributed to it. It's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
He was still the FOW heavyweight champion when he died. Future of wrestling. The title had to be vacated, and Hennig was considered the last champion before it folded later that year. That's rough.
Yeah.
Rough. Anyway, very sad. But another reason why some of these guys on this roster should not be wrestling. They should be taking care of themselves. So, anyway, next up, what do we got, Steve?
Well, we give a real quick backstage segment with Goldilocks trying to figure out what is in David Flair's burlap sack. And Desire comes out, throws Goldilocks down, then an Athena comes out of nowhere for the save and the catfight. West starts shilling for next week's show, and then Mike Sanders comes back up and jumps on the table and slaps Tanay and says that there's going to be an interview between Tanay and Russo next week, which why do we have to do this? Why are they trying to hurt us? Like, who's going to come and buy $9.99, spend $9.99 on a Vince Russo Mike Tanay interview?
Nobody.
No.
But like we said earlier, this easily could have been a Vince Russo spot, but he needed a break, so he sent out the backup. late in the game, the score's already out of hand, so let's put Mike Sanders in.
Yeah. And once again, it puts the focus on Vince Russo.
Yes.
Like that is in case you forgot. And for a while, with this next match, I thought they're going to end a certain way, and they were going to put all the shine on the next three guests, Christopher Daniels, Elix Skipper, and Loki against Jeff Jarrett. It's essentially a gauntlet match. They're saying it's three singles matches. There's, you know, again, with the B team, we already have a subgroup for SEX with Triple X. It was a cool shout out. Jeff Jarrett still traveling around the world. They said he was in Puerto Rico. He wrestled at Roberto Clemente Stadium defending the title, which is kind of cool because I got to go to that stadium with my kids a couple years ago and never really realized it was used for wrestling until recently. So that was kind of cool. Not really used to seeing Jeff Jarrett against cruiserweight type wrestlers. And the crowd just wasn't into this yet. Like Chris Daniels, just not well known enough. I get why they put Loki last, but you know, Daniels has only been on a couple episodes. He's actually had much of the match in his control, and then he missed the best moonsault ever, landed on his feet. So Jarrett was able to catch him with the stroke to win match number one. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to just go through all three, or do you guys want to give your thoughts on each?
You can go through all three because they were quick, but yeah, you can go through all three.
So Elix Skipper immediately comes in. He tried to do some sort of like handspring something. I don't even know what it was. It looked like he was gonna do like the handspring, like you would do the J driller, and then he just botched and dumped on his head. He recovered nicely from it and just ran to the outside of the ring, but I was pretty scared. And I'm just wondering if there was something going on with the ropes with all the falls that we saw, you know, in this show. There's quite a few botches. This is BG James comes out for commentary, too. I forgot about that. JJ hits Elix with a chair on the floor. And then all the commentary is getting all messed up because the audio is all.
Like, yeah, that was
West is off.
BG I thought James it was the app. Out.
Yeah. Oh no, that was them because you could like see like Borash was on some sort of Zach Morris phone in the background trying to figure out. And, the female producer phone. Was at. It was a corded cell phone. I'm not kidding. It was a corded cell phone. Like my dad had one of those when he was a phone man in the 90s. And then like the female producer was all running around and Don West was like trying to get stuff ready. But BG James is saying how awful the chemistry was between Don West and Mike Tanay and gave the classic line, you guys have a chemistry of a third grade chemist.
So much weed.
Yeah, like he's so not good weed. As a wrestler. At this point, and he's not even good as a commentator. So why are you there? Mm. Like, why are you there besides daddy? So eventually back in the ring, this is like a more of a typical Jeff Jarrett match. Daniels goes out the top rope, hits Skipper with a clothesline, you know, miss Jeff Jarrett. And then Jarrett just gets Skipper for the win right there, just based on that. Low key out. And this is like, it started to slow down a little bit. It felt like they were playing. Nate, you mentioned this earlier on in the, I think it was in the Siaki match, or maybe it was you, Scott, saying that like Siaki was trying to wrestle more like a heavyweight when he's an X Division guy. And it felt like this was happening in this match, that Daniel, Skipper, and Low-Key were wrestling a Jeff Jarrett match.
Yep.
Instead of finding a way in the middle. Low-Key eventually, because there was like a lot of chin locks in the beginning of this match, you know, he did his like face washes and stuff, which looked really cool. And it just kind of like sagged in the middle. Like there's just chin locks and giving Jarrett a break, even though the match only went like 18 minutes. So it wasn't like it was some sort of Iron Man match. Mm-hmm. So at the end, Low-Key kind of leapt back and put on a really strong looking Dragon Sleeper. So this is like it started to really pick up, and it became a good match for me. And Low-Key even, you know, there were some members of the crowd chanting for him, because Low-Key was super over the first year, and now you're trying to turn him heel with Vince Russo, no less. So right. Jeff Jarrett barely escapes this Dragon Sleeper that he had on for a good minute, and he was really had it in tight. And then, yeah, you know, again, the referees are all distracted by the out by Skipper and Daniel. So Jarrett, who's like basically cheating the entire match, gives a low blow to Low-Key, hits a stroke, gets the win. They start beating down Jarrett, and then we can talk about the match and then get into the little finishing bit here.
Well, you go first, Nate. Go ahead.
I thought they were fine. The Low-Key match is probably the best of the three. Nothing spectacular, though. You know, it's far below a regular Daniel single match or a Skipper match or a Low-Key match or even a good Jarrett match. Like, for whatever reason, it just didn't coalesce. Like, it did what it needed to do. You know, it told the story that it needed to tell. Obviously, the run-in at the end was what this whole thing was kind of set up for. But it wasn't the worst match on the show, but I've seen better from all four guys. So this match came off a little bit underwhelming, even though, you know, like I said, like they accomplished the goal that they set out to do with this match.
Right. Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay, but you're right. It could have been better. I applaud Jarrett for trying to, because he's dealing with three exceptional workers you know, just starting to build the prime of their careers. And the problem I had was I feel like Jarrett should have tried to be a little more adapting. Is that a word? Adapting?
He should have worked more with them than the other way around, because they brought them down to a Jarrett match, which should have been the goal. Like, if this is the action movie and Jeff Jarrett is Sly Stallone or Schwarzenegger fighting a group of ninjas, like, you don't want the ninjas to just walk and punch. You want the ninjas to do what ninjas do, and the hero finds a way to overcome the odds. And that's
right.
Not the story that they told with these matches.
No, like, you have Elix Skipper with long headlocks, and so that's not Elix Skipper. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, it's kind of the same stuff another guy in 2003 was accused of. That was a champion in another promotion.
Something with having the same letters in your names. It just brings up the worst in people's
heads. Yeah, exactly. When you're what's the word? What's the term, Steve? When you're
alliterative?
Alliterative, yes. Yeah. When you have an alliterative wrestling name, you drag good wrestlers down to your level. No. see, I could be objective. Well, let's move on to the end, because the ending was better than anything that we saw here.
The ending was really cool. There are a lot of stuff going on. And I told you, Scott, before the show that I have a very un-Steve-like take. Okay. I have never been a Jeff Jarrett fan. I do honestly believe that he's in a really good spot here. Like, as the face of the NWA, the tradition versus SEX, like, as the over babyface in Nashville, right, and not like, yeah, not like the heel. At this point, I think the concept of this match was spot on. It just didn't deliver in the way I was hoping it to, but I thought it should have worked a little bit better, but it was the right decision to have this gauntlet match and not have him really beat people clean. Like, he beat Daniels clean, but he really cheated the rest of the way and got lucky. So yeah, they beat down Jarrett, and then all of a sudden now come Hawk and Animal for the save. And then AJ Styles comes out and single-handedly beats up the Road Warriors and Jeff Jarrett, which I thought was a huge moment for him.
Yeah, that was a rub.
And then, big time rub that they let him do that. And my point that I want to make here that I've mentioned before is that this is what I mean, that you don't need Vince Russo. You can have him in the group and be the one who puts it all together, but not have him as the face, because this puts Daniel, Skipper, Loki, and AJ over. And then you have Russo come up, and it's just like, ugh. And AJ's just like, he's just destroying Jarrett, because he had said last week, like, he's coming after Jarrett. He wants to be a heavyweight. He wants the heavyweight title. And so he like puts a Styles Clash on Jarrett, but there's just so much going on here, you're almost missing it. And he hits a spiral tap on Jarrett. And you have like all of SEX, there's like 13 people. You got the Road Warriors. There's like, it's almost like a Royal Rumble in the ring where you need someone to throw people out of the top rope. And then all of a sudden, so almost lost in the shuffle is Russo welcoming AJ into the group, and AJ kind of shrugging off and leaving. And Russo with a physical face. And then all of a sudden out of the back, because remember, Barb Armstrong called someone before, it's Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty drops in the ring and starts doing some flip-flopping flying. And unfortunately, we only get about 45 seconds of that because they're out of time and they just missed it all. It's very disappointing that they didn't somehow take some time off to make sure you know, this isn't Percy Pringle in the last 15 seconds showing up, looking on. This is Dusty freaking Rhodes out of nowhere coming and showing up to make the save. I was genuinely shocked. I had no idea this was happening.
Yeah, like I knew Dusty showed up eventually. I didn't know it was going to be this episode. Mm-hmm. But like the timing on this show is a bit off. And because we should have stuck with Dusty for at least a good minute or so as we go off the air. But yeah, Dusty was like this cameo. But that being said, might have been the most over person on the entire show.
Oh yeah. Genuine shock. Yeah. I mean, there were 20 minutes at the beginning of the show that could have been cut down to like 12.
Yep.
And then you got what you need right there. Yeah, there's been a lot of debuts over the last 3 weeks. You got Dusty.
Again, talking to the override problem with Vince Russo, like putting 3 months worth of programming into one episode.
Yep.
Yeah. I was pumped. I'm like, because it's like he tried to hide with the hat and the fucking jacket. You're like, come on, Dream.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fuck you're trying to hide, but please. And then he's just firing elbows. And oh, it was awesome. It was so awesome.
Getting funky like a monkey.
Getting funky like a monkey. Yeah, I got to protect my son. Wait, he's not here. Oh, shit. He's teaming with Booker. Right? I think him and Booker were tag team champions, I think, at this moment in early 03. Right? Didn't they win the belts at Armageddon? Booker and Goldust?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, at Armageddon 02. I think they did. I think they won the tag straps from because they were feuding with – they had a great feud with, what was it, Jericho and Christian at the back end of 02, I think. Yeah. So – if my son, David Flett. No, that's Rick's son. Damn! With my son, Cody! But anyway.
Cody was in high school.
Yeah, pretty much. I was legitimately excited to see Dusty. I think it's a big moment. Now, here is a good use of a legend.
Yes.
Not Brian Lawler, not fucking Kurt Hennig all bloated and fucked up, and BG James fucking, you know, weeded out doing commentary. this was a perfect use of a legend. Dusty coming in, cleaning house. It was like 1985 all over again. You know? It was perfect. That was perfect. Not Mr. Perfect, because that was terrible, but I agree with you though, Nate, that this show may have been in the wrong slot. Would you have waited for Dusty to use Dusty?
I would have waited for Dusty until sex got more engorged, shall we say, Steve Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, right now we're in the, you know, we're like, give me a little foreplay with this sex. And it felt like we just went straight to it. We went straight to Pound Cake Town instead of the foreplay. So, yeah, like I think Dusty could have been, because I'm not sure, trying to think. If you really wanted to maximize Dusty and the Road Warriors, and the quote-unquote tradition, like, I think the story needed to be told longer. Because really, Vince has been on the mic for this would have been the third week of Sex, Steve?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the third episode of Sex, and we're already bringing back Dusty Rhodes. I think, like, because the NWO, it did get bloated by the end, but at the beginning, they did a great job of pacing and just giving you just enough to make you want to come back the next week. And if Vince Russo were in charge of the NWO, we would have found out that Hogan was the third man by the end of the third week instead of making us wait and enjoy the story.
Right. Yeah. No, that's I could see that. I could see that.
I mean, like, Dusty was great, but I think TNA could have made this moment even bigger than it already was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. All right. So the first episode, the first pay-per-view of 03, it's like a shiny new toy now, new logos, new aprons, new rings, new everything. Maybe a change in philosophy in ring. 1 to 10, Steve, what do you give it?
I'll say a 4.
Wow.
And 3 of those points are for Dusty.
Yes.
Wow. One for Daniels, one for Elix, one for Loki, one for Dusty.
Wow. I was more optimistic than you.
That's Nate? All right. It happens.
Yeah. Because I have a feeling I know where you're going to go, Scotty, so I'm going to split the difference that you haven't announced yet, and I'm going to say it was a 5.
Okay. Well, I'm giving it a 9.5. No, I'm not. I didn't love the tag match that much. I'll say 5.5. I'll give it a 5.5. I can't get it. I think a 6 is a bit much, but I thought the in-ring was solid.
Again, it's what we say every single week, Scott. There is a great hour show in the body of this 2-hour show.
True. Yeah.
Damn near 3-hour show.
Damn near 3-hour show. This one was a little shorter, though. Like, the runtime on the Impact Plus app was 152, which is about, like, 7 minutes less than it normally is.
Yeah.
So maybe there was more promo time to cut. So who knows? But, all right, so another average show, but I feel like it's trending upward.
The pieces are there.
Yeah, I think we're trending upward.
They need to get rid of, like, just like forget that they had some of that bloat for us. CX, like Flair and Mike Sanders, like stuff you don't need. Get rid of the Harris brothers. Like, I get having
our don't need 20 minute promos off the top.
No,
that's the other guy's gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Oh, we're getting close to the red tights too. I think this was the week of Raw where they were doing the pose down. Yeah, the oiling up was beginning. Yeah, that's what we need. Anyway,
I'm pretty excited though, because coming up in a few episodes in January, there's a all-time classic TNA moment and debut that occurs that I saw on like a random Impact post of all things on social media, and I'm like, oh, that we're coming up to that soon. Excellent.
I'm excited. Definitely trending upward. Gentlemen, another show in the books. Fun as always. Brother Nate already told us what's going on, so you can follow him on Twitter at
in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter.
I love that Twitter handle. One of my favorites. Steve, what do you got going on?
Not much. We talked about TDT Talk. I'm going to be taping this week. We took a couple weeks off of International House of Combat because just Kelly was not feeling up for wrestling with everything that was going on. Mm. He was just kind of down. His local promotion is going to fold. It was wrapped up in it as well. So we are going to be taping a very old show, a very old match from Mexico from like the 60s. And then a very, like the most current thing we've done, it was some sort of mask versus mask match. It was like some sort of bloody affair with the man who is now the interim cruiserweight champion, Santos Escobar. Formerly King Cuerno, formerly El Hijo de Fantasma. So I don't know much about it. I heard it was a really good match, and that's part of the fun.
All right.
That is also, hit me up on Instagram, SteveWilly1, and that's about it for me.
All right. Kelly Nelson, I think, is making his return to the Place to Be podcast very soon.
There we go. We'll drag him back in.
Return of the Mac, if you will.
So, follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather, and I am the Oddfather. He is the Oddfather. There's room for both of us to lead the flock.
Am I the Modfather?
You're the Modfather. Yes.
British. I ride around in my Vespa scooter.
That's right. You're our Quadrophenia. Again, follow the Place to Be Wrestling Network. A lot of awesome shows there. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll see the fallout. Well, let's see. 2 weeks would be July 2 plus would be the what? Today's 16th. Tomorrow's the 2nd, 16th. So we will preview Extreme Rules, because I think Extreme Rules is that Sunday. So we will preview.
Look at Fighter Fest. There's stuff happening. Great American Bash, Dominion for New Japan will just had finished.
Oh, you mean
also, AEW, why is it called?
The following week.
Why is it called Fighter Fest this year when there's no fest to be associated with it?
I don't know. I didn't know they were doing the Fight for the Fallen charity show again, too. That's cool.
Yeah. Just announced that just today as well.
Okay.
So we can actually, in a couple weeks, talk about actual wrestling. Yay, us. So, it's been a blast. As always, stay safe and be nice to each other. We're all family. He's Brother Nate. I'm Brother Steve. I'm Brother Steve. I think I did this 2 weeks ago, too.
You got to change the prompter. He's over here Ron Burgundy-ing it.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. Fuck yourself, San Diego.
Oh, that first one is so great, and the second one
really
is
not so good.
Garbage.
And handsome. He's Brother Steve and Brother Nate. I'm Brother Scott. This has been the Main Event. Again, be safe, be good to each other. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
We talked a lot about sex and Dusty Rhodes tonight, and obviously we all love the American Dream, one of the best to ever do it, but did you know, Steve Willie, that Dusty Rhodes did more than just come up with classic wrestling ideas?
No, did not know that.
I was doing some research over the weekend, and I discovered Dusty Rhodes once directed an adult film.
Yes?
Yeah, Dusty got into the pornography business. And if you go to Amazon right now, for only $59, you can buy Dusty Rhodes directed porno. The Dusty finish.
was wrong, and all the nasty things you've done. So baby, listen carefully while I sing my comeback song. Your love's mine. She said she'd never turn on me.